What's up, supercar fanatics? Changing up the intro. Welcome back to the Fuel for Thought podcast. I'm Jay.
Kevin.
And we're on episode 35 today. What are we talking about?
We're talking about old trends that, like, maybe at the time were cool, but now that we look back on them, are kind of cringe.
Yeah, so we're going to look at some very questionable ideas as to what people wanted to add to cars or were added to cars. Are these all conceptual or did they actually
come to fruition? They were, like, actual...
Oh, God, okay.
Things of the past.
Interesting. So we'll see where the car history has taken us. So yeah. I guess we'll do that. Goddamn thing keeps closing.
But before we kick it off, I want to do a rapid-fire news segment.
Yes.
So as some of you may know, I bought a Porsche Panamera GTS. And this was like 2 months ago, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Yeah.
And I was just curious to see, like, okay, well, how has the market adjusted? Like, what's available right now? And so I just went on Auto Trader, looked around, like, in the Ontario region. There's actually, like, quite a few more examples.
Oh, really? How many were there again when you bought yours?
There's three, but the two of them were, like, the older version. So mine's the facelift.
Mm.
So there's only one of facelifts. And yeah, there's like about three or four examples of the facelift, which is the version I have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like very cool.
Mm.
So I guess more better option. One of them, the black one.
Yeah.
Full red leather interior. That looks sick. Gangster.
How much is that one for sale for?
But the good thing is they're all higher than I paid. Okay. So I paid 41 and the lowest is 44. And they're all averaging about, like, 47, 48.
Okay, so they're kind of going up in price. Or at least maybe these examples are higher, higher desired, like the red leather and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. And they also have a bit of, like, lower mileage.
Mm, okay.
But it's kind of cool because, like, for some reason, if I wanted to sell mine right now, I could maybe price it a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's only like been 2 months, but yeah.
Yeah, 43.
Like, so if the trend continues, that'd be cool. If it become more rare.
So yeah, it's cool. I do wish mine had the red stitching with the red dials. Cool.
I feel like in some respect though, like it's more of like a luxury sports car. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I feel like the red is a little too aggressive for that.
Yeah, that's why like the whole full red leather is like cool, but at the same time, it almost feels like childish.
Yeah, exactly. Like in like an F12 or like some like super high-end car that's like made to like race on the track and shit, mm-hmm. that would make sense. But yeah, like kind of like with my car too, with an S8, like if it had like a red interior, I'd just be like, no way, I don't think I'd want
that. Yeah, it doesn't really fit the bill.
Exactly. Yeah,
so yeah, that's, it's cool to know. I mm-hmm. mean, worst case scenario, if someone just rams my shit, I can just go get another one. There's enough on the market.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just the rapid fire news. Now the main topic, mm-hmm. which I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's just looking at things that revolutionized at the time the industry or that were like mainstream.
This is all like kind of like a marketing ploy to get people to buy these cars, right? Most of them.
Yeah, but also like new tech or new trends that were like, you know, big deal at the time, but now that we look back on is like, okay, that's kind of cringe, and why was this popular in the first place?
Yeah, that's, I feel like there's something like that for every industry, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so where are we starting with this?
We're going to start in 1940, so this
will be good. This is like World War, just past World War One era.
Yeah, so this was, in my opinion, like when the car industry kind of picked up a lot, because, you know, manufacturing plants could start. You know, they didn't have to worry about the war, and they could start
post-depression too.
So. Building cars, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So the first trend was, to me, just makes no sense, and like it kind of sets the mentality to, like, how far back it was. And this was you have a crate for mm-hmm. a dog, you know, pretty standard. We use them to this day, but people didn't want the dogs in the car. Because, you know, the smell and the hair and all.
Yeah.
So they built a crate that you attach on the side of your car. It's like outside the vehicle and attached on the body panel. And you'd shove your dog in there.
It's great in the winter, huh?
Yeah. Like, imagine going, like, the cars weren't that fast back then. But still, like, 30 miles an hour and your dog's just chilling there.
Or just shitting his pants while you're driving.
Yeah.
Imagine getting into, like, an accident, too. Like, obviously, it's the same if he's in the car. But, mm-hmm. like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
You get T-boned, like, on that side.
Yeah, because I feel like nowadays people put them in the back of pickup trucks.
Yeah.
But that's like heavily frowned upon. Like
it is, it is.
People cringe and be like, oh, you're so disrespectful to the dog. And it's like, yeah. No, like back then this was
like thing. Gave less of a shit, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like now too, like sometimes it's like, if you have like an SUV, you have like a plexiglass kind of like sheet and then they're like kind of behind there. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a bit better. At least they're warm and stuff. But
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's still not a good way to do it, honestly.
No. And that this thing was actually deemed as like a luxury back then. This was how like rich people would drive around this luxurious crate.
I mean, it makes sense because it's like a comfort thing, you know. Your mm-hmm. your car doesn't have to smell like dog, and you know it's not full of slobber and stuff.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Sure. Huh, interesting. All right, what else for 1940s?
The other one is, at the time that's how it was, cranking a car to start mm-hmm. it. That's just the technology didn't exist. They didn't have like
this reminds me of like Fred Flintstone, you know, like the little walking car stuff.
Yeah, so that was it was cringe because like it was so complicated, you know. You had to, let's say it's like freezing, okay, cool, now instead of waiting for your car to warm up, you're like, okay, I gotta go get outside, crank it and hope it turns over. And then
yeah,
I think someone had to be also in the driver's seat and like pressing the gas
to
try to turn it on.
How quick would you have to crank it though? Like, because I mean the starter cranks it pretty hard.
Yeah, it's kind of the same as like lawnmower, like if you ever started one. Like
I could never start one when I was younger, but obviously now it's changed, it's weak, but
yeah, it's definitely like hard
pull,
but once you get the momentum going, it gets a bit easier.
Yeah, I just feel like with like a car motor, it'd be like a lot more force needed. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe that's just like in my head. Maybe it is easier. I don't know. Interesting. Guess we'll never find out. Thankfully.
Yeah. Luckily. So yeah, that's 1940s. The next one is pretty wild. 1950s.
Yeah.
Nuclear powered cars.
Oh God.
So this was, there's a lot of playing around with different combustion and, you know, trying to stay away from gas.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they experimented with, you know, we have still ethanol nowadays, cooking oils, they did propane.
Yeah.
And then the next step was nuclear powered cars, which it's pretty insane.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, one wrong move in your car and all of a sudden you have cancer, so that's great. And you've just, like, radioactivated the whole, like, area around you.
Well, I mean, it's just like, what if you get a head-on collision, you're...
Nuclear warhead.
Yeah. Like, every day going to work, you could just be exposed to radiation and die.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, instead of just, like, a car pileup, it's just like, you see a mushroom cloud in the distance. And you're just like, oh, shit, another accident.
Yeah, that'd be pretty wild.
It's not very thought through.
So that experiment ended very quickly.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
Crazy to think that it was just even considered in the first place.
I think it was just all the rage, though. Because think about, like, Hiroshima and stuff. Like, when they were building, like, you know, what's it called? Like, the Manhattan Project and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, that's definitely why they're like, oh, might as well use it for cars, too, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think they fully understood
no.
how, like, dangerous
definitely
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one, which is, we've mentioned it before, is just like how wild it used to be. Like you could drink and drive. Like
it was nothing. It was just like drinking apple juice nowadays.
Yeah, and it was actually cool back then. Like you drink and drive, that's cool, man.
Yeah,
like
can't even imagine that now.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's hell, like for obvious reasons, you're impaired. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Slow reaction. You know all that stuff.
But the most crazy part is Cadillac actually advertised this in a magazine. We got a picture here. It's a mini bar, like a magnetized mini bar in your glove box.
Oh,
you can make cocktails and
while you're driving, you're just like kind of making a cocktail, chugging it back.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
And the whole premise was like you go on a long road trip, you know, have something to do, your wife makes you a cocktail, you sip it while driving.
Sounds pretty nice, honestly.
It does, but at the same time, like how did this ever become a thing?
It's like, kind of messed up, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we wonder why our life expectancy has increased so much.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, because you didn't have to worry about, you know, crossing the street as a child and get run over by.
Can you imagine like letting your kid walk to school? I wouldn't feel safe doing that, you know.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good thing they came back on that too.
Mm-hmm.
You live and you learn, I guess.
So now...
60s.
Moving to the 60s. You want to cover the first one?
Yeah, sure. So this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
So you know those cop car little divisions between suspects and the cops? Mm-hmm. So they thought this was a good idea if you have kids, because, you know, kids are annoying and you don't want to hear them or talk to them or interact with them in any way. So they just put up this piece of plexiglass called a child partition.
Yeah.
And that's how they separated you from your kids if you wanted to just have a conversation with your wife, or, you know, just have a quiet drive when your kids are yelling in the back. Yeah, was this put up? Like, can you put it up and take it down? I'm curious.
No, so it was like kind of like less of a cop, more like a taxi. You know, you've seen, you have like a sliding door where you could like hand cash or whatever.
Yeah.
So more like that, which is like, and it's like permanent thing.
Okay.
So it's like,
that's kind of hilarious.
The most offhand parenting, just like, get in the back and like do your thing. I don't care. I'll drive in the front. It's like,
I guess they didn't have condoms back then. That's what they did instead.
I guess so. Yeah.
Just shove in the back and let them fight it out.
Yeah.
That's too funny. But yeah, that's definitely an oversight too.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And then the next one is kind of similar. So at around the same time, obviously we had bench seats for many, many years, and I gotta admit, they're super cool.
Yeah.
Like, I hate having like a center console.
Yeah.
And like, you could sleep in the car, no problem. Like, I mean, sure, you might have to bend your knees or something.
Mm.
But yeah, just a whole ass bench, and you know, people in the would go to movie theaters and
get it on
in there.
Hey, you still make do, you know. You can still do it with the glove box and the middle console.
Yeah. It's just a bit more awkward.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's a backseat effort at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for a younger audience, just ignore everything we said. But yeah, I think this is like an interesting time, because it also means that in a typical like sedan, you could have like a 6-seat car pretty much, whereas now you need a full SUV for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that was kind of a cool invention. Also comes with some drawbacks too, because, you know, like, I know my brother's truck has that, and like, there's not really a spot to put your feet, so either you're touching the gas pedal or you kind of gotta like put your legs up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, same with the steering wheel, I guess.
But mm-hmm.
depends on how wide the car is.
Yeah, but the cringe thing about this is not the bench seat itself. Mm. It's just like, now that we know about safety and like, you know, how to be safe in a car, bench seats just never made sense, because they didn't have seat belts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they didn't.
You're just like sitting on an actual bench.
Yeah. And like, you got a head-on collision, you're just flying.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, or right to the middle of the windshield, yeah.
Yeah, hit by like the side, you're going flying there. So like, you had no protection.
Mm-hmm.
You're
just... Not even airbags or anything there either, so...
Yeah, you're just getting yeeted around the car wherever you end up.
Yeah, they just wanted to toss you with that one.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah.
All right, glad they also did away with that. I'm glad we're living in this era, not in that era.
Mm-hmm.
It would be pretty painful. For those of you that grew up in this time, I really hope you didn't fly through the windshield. But if you did, tell us about your story. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and there were thick windshields back then.
Like. Yeah. Can you imagine getting thrown out of your seat and just, like, your head just, like, crushes in because the windshield's too hard? Like,
oh, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's brutal.
Terrible, yeah. So now let's move to the 70s.
All right.
This is, we talked about it before. We'll definitely make a whole episode on this, but just... The laughable V8s that were coming out of America.
Yeah, in there. They were absolutely enormous in size, like displacement, the actual size, like cubic inches of the engines, but there's literally zero power coming out of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're the most inefficient engines you could ever imagine.
By far the worst. It's unbelievable.
Do you know like a rough horsepower for like displacement, roughly, or no?
It was like, we're talking about like 6-7 liters for like 200 horsepower.
It's hilarious. I mean, just for context, like a Viper gets like, what, 700 now? Roughly the same. It's a little bigger. It's like 8 or 9 liters. But
yeah, 640 or something.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at like a Hemi engine or something, or like a Hellcat engine, similar idea, but you get like, I mean, obviously the supercharged ones are more power, but it's still like 500-700 naturally aspirated horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's almost tripled since that time, which is crazy.
But this was due to regulation, so it wasn't like... Americans are incompetent at building engines. It's heavy regulations because of the gas prices, and they had to put catalytic converters, they had to restrict the intakes, and there's so much restriction on the engines that it just bogged them down. And we can even see that and GM, their flagship car, which was the Corvette, I think was the C3 version at this time, and just did terrible. It's one of the most hated cars, not because it just didn't have an option, that's how it was, and that's
kind of sucks. We should do an episode about this one too, but just a show and tell kind of thing of the most beautiful cars from that time, because the 70s and 60s and even older, the 50s, some of the cars are so cool to see,
so iconic.
Because if you watch older movies, or even movies that they made look old, you see all these restored old cars, I can't believe they used to just drive around in those things. They're so cool looking. They look like spaceships.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Some of the classics, Camaro, Firebird,
Even the old Buicks and stuff, there's some really cool ones.
Yeah, so, and it's I love that the culture in America is to restore these.
Yeah,
they don't let it go to a scrapyard.
Yeah, I like that too.
Fix it and drive it. You can go to a bunch of car shows in America, even in Canada. You still see some nice classics. Last weekend I saw, I think it was an old Camaro, fully restored, and
it's so cool to see. Yeah. And it's nice to see that so much care has been taken into it too. But even if you were to go to Cuba a couple of years ago, when they're still they're cut off from the U.S. back then for the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they had only these old cars because they couldn't import any cars for the longest time. And so that was kind of a trip down memory lane of going back to this era of cars. So it would have been cool to have seen that. I don't know if it's still like that or if they've kind of upgraded now, but
I'm assuming it's so much part of their culture that they probably still have a lot.
Exactly. Around. And even if people did decide to upgrade, it's probably a slow process.
Yeah.
There's millions of people there, so.
For sure.
Yeah.
But on that, we are talking about how nice the cars were.
Mm.
There is one thing which I still don't fully understand, the appeal.
Yeah.
There was so much chrome on these cars.
That's true.
It was unbelievable amount, all the bumpers, all the trim.
Yeah, all everything. The trim, the mirrors, the around the headlights, the wheels, everything was chrome.
And it wasn't super nice chrome. So before it was polished metal, which that's nice. I mean, sure, sometimes it rusts and all, but you just sand it, buff it out. And, but some of them switched to this fake synthetic, so it's plastic and then a sheet of chrome.
Yeah, that's so shit.
And that would it would age so badly, it would crack, it would fade, it would chip, and it just turned out so bad. It was nice for 2 months, and then the sun would do its thing and bam. That's just disgusting.
That sucks when they go cheap like that. But
so I think that was one of the biggest bummers about that. It's just way too much chrome and not proper chrome.
And kind of with that, just the insane amount of resources and just straight up materials was needed to build a car back then. You just look at these front ends and they're just enormous hunks of metal. They don't give a shit about weight or anything. They're it has 200 horsepower anyway, no one cares. They just make this thing 8,000 pounds of steel frame, steel body, thick, 2-inch thick windows and stuff. It's hilarious how different it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, looks come with that. If they could just, focus only on looks and not on weight reduction and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was an interesting time. A whole different, industry to what we have right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 80s?
Yep. So that wraps up the 70s. Now we're going to the 80s.
All right.
And this one, I think, was hilarious. So when researching this, the thing that was, groundbreaking in the 80s was BMW introduced this small little car, which was the Z1.
Z1 for you Americans.
Yeah, the Z1. And the doors, the whole selling point about this car was the doors, instead of opening normally or whatever, cool, fancy, would slide down into the body.
What the fuck?
And that was a whole rave, and they were magazines and all these journalists were oh, this is the new way of opening doors. We'll no longer pull doors.
That's hilarious.
What ended up happening is, of course, BMW is known for nightmare reliability and build quality.
Yeah.
So within, a couple months, people were reporting my doors just don't work anymore. They won't come back up, and I'm just driving around with no
doors.
That's
the first thing I think about when something moves and you're ooh, that's cool. I know I have this screen in my car and knock on wood, but it hasn't gotten stuck yet. I think I have a service repair receipt from when it actually got fixed like 10 years ago before I owned it. But yeah, it's just like this retracting screen. I'm just like, anything like that is just asking for it to break. Yeah. So imagine a door, you know, like it's a big thing to not work. Like if my screen doesn't work, my life isn't over. But if I can't open my door and I'm stuck in my car, or you're stuck outside your car and you can't lock it.
Well, the thing is, like, maybe back then that wasn't a thing, but nowadays most cars, like, won't go and drive if the door is not closed. Exactly. So, like, you just can't use your car anymore. That's it.
That's a bit of a problem, I guess.
Yeah, so the Z1 did terrible, and now it's rare because they only sold a few examples.
Yeah.
That's why.
Makes complete sense. It'd be cool to see one, though, if it isn't stuck, if they still are working.
Yeah, I feel like nowadays, you know, with technology and, you know, a bunch of mechanics, I think you'd be, you know, you'd be able to own one comfortably, but...
Imagine Tesla doing something like this, to be honest. You know how they always already have their doors that kind of open up in the back? Like, if it just, like, sucks into the roof or something?
That'd be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. You want to cover this next one?
Yes. It's probably a bit... controversial, I would say, but turbos. So this is kind of when they became more mainstream, and this is kind of back when it was more of a joke, I guess, because turbos were not nearly as reliable, and they kind of served initially to kind of pump more power into these cars that were so underpowered with these big engines. But yeah, they're just like, they were so unreliable. They're always like blowing up and stuff. Like it was just like a big thing that got introduced. Obviously nowadays, much better.
Yeah.
Especially like Audis with their V8 bi-turbo. They have the turbos on the top of the engine, so it's easy to service. They're way smaller, and they have more compression power, actually, even though they're smaller.
Yeah.
So there's a big change there.
Yeah. I think what was controversial at the time, especially when these came around, I think nowadays has become more mainstream, but at the time it was very cringe because a lot of people like the NA V8s and like the... So that's why I put a picture of the Buick GNX. That thing was a rocket. It was beating all the other American cars, you know, NA V8s. V6 turbo, single or twin turbo, I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was it looks like a muscle car.
It does.
But it got so much hate because it was like, oh, this is not a real muscle car. This is foreign garbage.
It's kind of like us with electric now, pretty much.
Basically,
it's like the next gen, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, essentially, any big revolutionary change is always going to have some pushback from old, you know, old ways. And nowadays, like, we would not be where we're at without turbos.
No, not even close.
Because, like, especially for small everyday cars, like a small inline four.
It wouldn't have nearly enough power if it didn't have turbos.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's good now, but at the time it was very... frowned upon.
Yeah, I've come a long way, let's put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. So now let's move to the 90s, the fun era.
Oh, God. Let's just talk about the Plymouth Prowler for a second, because this thing... I'm sorry if you own one, but why did they ever produce this? I've seen one on the road before, and I think the guy in it was having a midlife crisis or something. He looked a little deranged.
I feel like this is for serial killers. That's...
A little bit, yeah, but even then you'd stand out too much.
True, yeah.
Yeah, and there's nowhere to put a body either, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe just psychopaths.
So the story behind this is, you know, rat rods, right? The old, like, rusted out, like, very, very old, like, 30s car, like, slammed with rusted out and, like, just big old V8s.
Exactly.
So they wanted to recreate that, a modern rat rod.
Okay.
And they built this thing. I think it was like, it took forever for it to even come into production because everyone's like, this is a terrible idea. It looks like shit. And then they wanted to put a V8 in it and they just ended up putting a V6. So it's underpowered. It's ugly. It doesn't perform well. It did nothing, but somehow it was so bad that people bought it and it was actually kind of popular.
Interesting. Kind of sounds like the Cybertruck a little bit.
Kinda, yeah.
I mean, it's ugly. I don't even know if it's functional. I mean, obviously, it's a different price point too, but...
Yeah, this thing's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like people just kind of buy stuff like this as like kind of like an ongoing joke or just for attention kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like it becomes a joke and then people start taking it seriously and then actually go and put their money towards it.
Yeah.
which is...
I wonder that all the time. I see people driving, like, certain cars, and I'm just like, did you willingly go into a showroom and choose that car? Like, I'm just thinking about, like, what's wrong in their head, you know what I mean? Like, no offense, BMW X6, the old ones, like, I don't know how people like those things. Like, the ones with, like, the super raised back ends. They just look so weird to me. I've never understood it. Or, like, those newer, like, Hyundais with, like, the weird shit. I don't know which one it is, but they just have... They just don't look attractive in any way. They're just so ugly. Obviously, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess, but...
I feel like sometimes most people just don't care. They just...
Yeah, they're, like, fuel economy and price. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Which is, sure, to each their own, but don't catch me dead in an X6. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one here?
So, this one... I gotta admit, it was cool, but the whole concept made no sense. Mm. So this was wired phones in a car.
Okay.
So there was, you know, the big, like, phones you'd have in your house, which is like a big box with a wire and then the big phone and you pick it up.
Yeah.
They started putting that in, like, business class cars, like the E-Class and
BMWs. How would it connect? Like, wasn't it through, like, phone wires back then? Or, like, telephone wires?
So this was at the time where, like, satellite was becoming a thing. So they did have
satellite phones.
Okay. Cell phones, yeah. And then they decided to put that in your car so you could take phone calls. It was so, because obviously it's a massive box. It was so big that it was like almost the entire center console, which is just like...
It's so unnecessary. Yeah. It's like, I don't need to call people that badly.
Yeah. And apparently, like, the connectivity, because it was brand new, the whole wireless, well, technically wireless, because it's not wired to a landline or anything. It was terrible, and, you know, you go under a bridge, you lose connection, have to dial back, and...
Do the little, like, box? Like, the where you do the numbers? No, it was the... Okay, thank God. It was
the buttons.
I'd be pretty distracted driving if I had to do
Yeah.
A little spinny dial.
But it's just hilarious seeing these, like, 7 series BMW, and, like, oh, that's a cool interior. Oh, there's just a massive phone chilling there.
You know what's funny? Actually, I think my car has, not the wired phone, but I think it has, like a way... It's kind of like a, you know, those wireless home phones that you can, like, take out of the receiver and then take with you throughout the house, but it has to be, like, within your house.
Yeah.
It's not a wired one, but it's still, like, a home phone. Mm-hmm. I think my car has, like, a receiver for it. I don't have the adapter, but there's literally this thing in the center console. You slide the thing in, and I'm pretty sure you'd get, like, one of those home phones. I mean, 2007, that's not far off.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing these old, like, I guess that's with any technology.
Yeah.
Like, seeing how far we've come and...
Exactly.
Yeah. So now the fun stuff.
All right, 2000s.
Yeah.
Let's talk about ricers.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
So this one, it's an interesting era. So I feel like 2000 kind of shifted the car scene. Before it was, like, I guess European and muscle cars kind of dominated. And then we started seeing, you know, Japanese cars and other manufacturers coming into the U.S., and all of a sudden, young people could buy these cars and, you know, have their own, I guess, creative avenue.
Yeah.
And they would just start buying parts on eBay because that was cheap and just making these utterly terrible creations. Like, I don't even know what the power or, like, the whole mindset was, but essentially it was... Make it as loud as possible. Don't care about the power.
Yeah.
You might do an air intake, but whatever. Make it as bright as possible.
Yeah. Like
big, bulky wings and hood scoops that aren't functional.
Don't forget chrome. I love chrome too.
Yeah,
brought it back from the 70s, but here we are again.
Yeah, and then just god-awful interiors. And the funny thing is, like, now some of them are starting to pop up on Marketplace.
Mm.
And, like, there are all these show cars, like, featured in this magazine, and they just age so badly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you know what's probably spun this all up is, I think 2003 was when Tokyo Drift came out, like the Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
I think that was a big, big time when, like, you know, all this started popping off. Everyone's like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I want to learn how to drift. I want to own a ricer. Like, I want to own these Japanese import cars with right-hand drive, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's the thing. So Fast and Furious was based on actual street, like the original movie was built on street racing in California, because this was like this whole thing of like ricers getting together and street racing down empty roads.
Mm-hmm.
And the journalist like really got fascinated by that kind of mentality, made I think it was like not a book but an article, and then they got picked up by a studio and made a film.
Mm.
And that just blew up the whole trend.
Really?
It was, yeah, everyone wanted a Honda Civic with the fart can and the underglow and all that. And
it's always so funny.
It was, yeah, that. Pretty crazy. Stuff. And then the other kind of ties into the Ricer thing is speakers everywhere.
Oh, God, yeah.
This, like, you can Google it or just watch YouTube videos of these crazy cars with, like, speakers absolutely everywhere in the steering wheel. In the like the back would have this giant boom box of like
like six different subwoofers like and trying not to shatter their windows when they drive down the road.
Yeah, and we actually saw that. Remember in Canmore, I think it was Calvin.
So. Oh yeah,
yeah. You want to tell the story?
Yeah, so he's like, I think it was a Passat, right?
I think it was a Golf.
A Golf, yeah, Golf. Yeah. And it was one of our friends. Well, I guess accomplices, yeah. I guess. And yeah, he just like. he put this piece of shit Golf, and he put like the biggest sub in there humanly possible. Or was it two? I think it was two.
Yeah, I think
it was like a double sub, and he would just like the volume was so loud when he played it that like the treble and like the high notes would just crackle, and he would just, all you just hear was bass like coming down the street. And I think he broke his rear window.
Yeah,
so yeah, he played it so loud that it shattered the rear window. But honestly, it did sound not bad. You know, if you had actually good songs playing, it was pretty good.
And you were kind of far away. I feel like if you're too close, it was just deafening.
Exactly. I just remember when you were driving along, and you just look at like his lights, and it was just like completely dim every time the bass note hit. It was probably not great for his electronics.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny. Just like he was one of those kids too, where just like, you know, didn't have too much money, but wanted to stand out a little bit.
Yeah. And speakers were the way to get attention.
Exactly. It's all about attention at that age.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're still dealing with their loud
exhaust. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I still got a loud speaker system in mind. We're not so far removed from this.
Yeah, exactly. So now the 2010s. Kick us off with, I know you have feelings about this car.
I know. Yeah, obsession with the GTR. And this is all different versions. The R32, 33, 34. I know all of them were very popular. R34 is probably the one I can relate to most. One I've actually driven and been driven around in. And some crazy different versions of it.
So you're talking about the R35
right?
That's 35. The latest one.
Yeah, see, there's so many I don't even know. 35, yes. See, that's how little I know about GTRs. But yeah, I was in Vancouver with one of my buddies who did a photo shoot, and there are these guys, they're from Dubai, and they had these super, like, his GTR, first of all, it had 335mm tires all around, so it was pretty insane. He had like the whole Liberty Walk kit on the side, chrome blue wrap on it, and he's like, hey, you want to go wash it before we well, he didn't say that to me, he said that to his shop worker, you want to go wash it before we do the photo shoot. And I was like, yeah, sure, like I'll come along or whatever. And this guy, he's a shop worker, he's like 210 on one of these little back roads. Like going to the gas station, to the car wash. And yeah, just so exciting. Like, I think it was close to 950 wheel horsepower, so it was ridiculous. But like, just the sound of the turbos, and like, that thing was straight pipe too. Like, it was pretty sweet. So I mean, I was kind of obsessed with it for a little while. Don't think I'd want to own one, to be honest. Just not a huge fan of the interior and kind of the build quality, but they are really cool, very tunable, very reliable. But yeah, they're definitely big what's it called, obsession.
Yeah,
with all of these I think especially like the older ones, like the 90s is like typical. Is that the R33?
The R, yeah,
is it 34?
R33 and R34 are
right,
the like from early 2000s 90s. Mm-hmm. I think the cringe comes from, it's just like everyone, it's kind of like the super kids.
Yeah,
when this, the R35 came out, there's so many memes on Facebook like, oh, that's a cool car, but it can't beat the GTR, or things like that, where like this whole thing about the GTR was just overblown and just became cringe.
Yeah.
And the car itself is wonderful. Like,
yeah,
the amount of engineering and like how insanely good for that price,
mm-hmm,
is amazing.
But even the simple like a simple tune can give you like 200 to 300 mm-hmm. horsepower. Like it's such a weirdly tunable engine. Like it's insane.
Yeah, well, so in Japan there's like a gentleman's agreement for horsepower, and they just detune the engine. Like it definitely can produce more.
Yeah, of course.
And that's why we're seeing with a flash tune, you can get exactly like so much power. But yeah, it's amazing car. They actually sold 40,000 units.
Holy shit.
And they're still selling them to this day.
Impressive.
So yeah, it's insane car. It's just the community kind of made it cringe.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
This next one's a bit...
Volkswagen. Well, we know all this bullshit with the whole emissions scandal. Mm-hmm. So I think this was mostly diesel cars that were affected by this.
Yep.
So this is a massive, massive, massive recall. And so this was all related to the emissions that Volkswagen was actually quoting that their cars produced. Mm-hmm. But it actually, after an environmental report came out with all these updated figures of what they were actually producing and how much toxic fumes they were letting out, they had to recall, like, I don't know what the exact number is, but it was probably in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of cars.
I feel like it was millions.
Yeah, it must have been. But yeah, it was pretty insane. And a lot of people had like 5 to 10 year old cars that they just traded in and got the value, or they got an updated mm-hmm. car, which is pretty cool. I mean, if you owned a Volkswagen at that time, but you also ruined the environment, thanks a lot. But yeah, honestly, it's like, honestly, we can't talk. We're shitting on EVs. So
yeah,
sorry. Nah, we're also bad. But yeah, that was definitely a revolutionary thing in the 2010s. Surprised there wasn't more backlash to Volkswagen, honestly.
They definitely, like, well, first of all, they had to pay out all the customers.
Yeah.
So whether trade-in or, you know, fix their car and anything like that. And they definitely got sued by a lot of the governments. I think the cringe thing was, like, just why lie?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
It's
like,
not really building trust in people who bought the cars in the first place, you know.
But also, like, something about emissions is so obvious. Like, obviously, someone's gonna test it at some point. You're selling millions of cars.
Like, it's gonna be. Maybe people think it's a one-off, but then you get another one, and you're like, oh shit, they're both just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't just like a small over the line. Like, it was like pretty decently worse than they thought.
Huge gaps in what they were reporting would do, what the actual results were.
Yeah, there is a good documentary about this, actually. I forget what it's called now, but yeah, maybe I can link it.
Yeah, if we remember, we'll
link it. Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's something related to the emissions, but yeah, it might be a show with other things as well. But anyway, there is a good documentary out there that explains kind of what happened. Definitely worth the watch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And now we're in the era of electric car IPOs. That was also in the 2010s. That kind of started them, right?
Yeah, I feel like so.
It was like late 2010s. It was like close to COVID era, mostly.
Yeah, kind of almost early 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We saw like a huge surge in electric companies just it more being treated as tech companies.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So it's not like. Again, we don't like EVs, but we don't hate the progress and what they're doing for the car industry. But it was just so cringe seeing these, and still to this day, Tesla, like mm-hmm. all the cult-like following.
Exactly.
And like defending, and Tesla's still way overvalued on the stock market. And every company seemed to follow suit, like Nikola, we had Lucid, mm-hmm. we had
Rivian,
yeah.
There's a bunch of different ones. There's a lot of like overseas competitors that came here from China and Korea and Japan. I think there's a lot of different ones actually that came here. But
yeah,
there's a lot of interesting developments in the space. And like you said, I think they're just treated a lot like tech companies. And even I know, like, we were kind of dabbling in, like, the stock market back in 2019, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those are, like, the meme stocks that you'd, like, they were pump and dumps. Like, I remember even Nikola, like, it would, like, surge, like, $40 in one day and then crash back down. Like, it was just what everyone was, like, day trading pretty much. So, yeah, it was kind of a weird time. They were pretty much penny stocks back then.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a weird time. And even today, I feel like it's still cultish and...
Yeah, it's gaining some respect, but it's still a far away from like a GM or something like that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, Tesla, I don't know if that's still the case. I haven't checked recently because I know Tesla's been dipping a lot. But as of 6 months, maybe a year ago, Tesla was valued at a higher market cap than GM or Volkswagen.
That's pretty crazy because they haven't even sold near as many units.
Not even competing at that point. It's crazy to think, like, sure, future gains, but like, are they ever going to catch the level of GM? Like, GM is probably the biggest.
Yeah, and like even like now, I think I just read on the news this morning that in the US they slashed Tesla prices by another $2,000, and then the self-driving feature, like the technology, got slashed from $12,000 to $8,000. So like there's still like ongoing price cutting going on, trying to level with the market, trying to, you know, economies of scale and all that stuff. So it's still a growing company. It's still not even matured. So for it to be valued at more than those companies is very absurd.
It is, for sure.
And that's exactly what you said. Like, in the dot-com bubble in early 2000, the same thing. Like, all these... Anything that had dot-com, like, obviously Amazon is the prime example. But yeah, that was one of those things where everything just skyrocketed if it had dot-com, because every tech company had that. So this is kind of that same same feeling, and that's kind of why... I mean, same with AI, really. There's so many bubbles.
Yeah. Now we're with AI. Before it was Bitcoin.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's a never-ending cycle of boom and busts, I suppose. But yeah, okay, let's move on to more modern trends, though. What have you been seeing in terms of, like, modern cringy trends that's caught your eye?
Yeah, so these are trends that are very big right now that I feel like in a few years we're going to look back on and just absolutely cringe.
Yeah.
And the first one that just... I hate with a passion. I don't hate a lot of stuff, but this one just angers me so much. It's these fake exhausts.
Me too. Okay, that's it's so bad. It's like, okay, if you really wanted to make it sporty, you would actually add the exhausts properly into their little fitments in the bumper. Mm-hmm. Like, why? I've even seen it, like, I think you have it in here too, but like, where like the pipes kind of, like, you have it that ends, and then the pipe just goes down right at the end.
Yeah, like this one.
It's so stupid.
This picture is kind of like that. It's two tips, plastic tips in the bumper, and then the actual exhaust like cuts down, so it doesn't even like go through.
It's so stupid. I don't like exhaust tips. Weren't even cool to start with. Like, why do we even need them? Like, just make it go down. If it's usually the simpler cars anyway that have them, so nobody cares.
Yeah, like I think the worst example I've seen is, so I'm okay with, like, you know, like a GLE or something that has a pipe that goes straight down. Sure, like, just leave it at that. Don't put something in the bumper. But the worst one, I think, is the Audi SQ5.
Oh, I've seen that one.
It's supposed to be sporty because you're paying SQ5, which is probably stands for sport.
Yeah.
So you're paying for a sport package. Why put fake exhaust? And they're like fake exhaust with a ring of chrome. And it's just like... It makes no sense.
It's so cringy. And that's honestly, I was pretty disappointed when I saw that coming from Audi, because I know, like, my car has four actual tips.
Yeah.
That's has valves in it and everything. It's properly done. You know, they're actually not plastic, but metal, as it's supposed to be. Yeah, I agree with this one. That's a shit show.
So, yeah, that's cringe from the start. Like, even we don't have to look back on it. The next one is, I'm kind of torn on this one, giant screens.
Could be cool, but also not cool. I feel like in a Tesla, everything is controlled by it, so it's kind of necessary. But I feel like every other car manufacturer, like a lot of the Asian ones, I'm not gonna lie, they tend to copy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it ends up being completely unnecessary. So I don't know. Like, I've just seen this, like, in Hyundai's, I think, like the newer ones, they just have huge screens, but it's just like a normal gas powered car. It's like, I mean, it's not EV. Like, you don't need to control everything from there. You don't need to check your battery level. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. Even trucks, I've seen it on now.
Yeah, I think one of the examples that comes up in my mind is the G-Wagon. I love the G-Wagon. I want one so bad. But the thing I don't understand is, so most cars have, like, you know, the display in front for your speed and all that, and then you have a screen, a separate screen. But the G-Wagon decided to do one giant screen.
Oh, yeah.
That wraps around.
It's kind of painful.
But there's only two working screens. So there's just like a giant black space there. And like black space here and there. It's like, why?
Yeah, who designed that? That's kind of necessary. I don't know why they would do that. Is that like for lighting or something?
No, like it doesn't literally work at all? This part of the screen is just black.
It doesn't work?
Yeah. So okay, it's...
Interesting.
It's interesting, like... They're trying to make it more techy, but why. Like, don't force it if it doesn't feel comfortable.
Exactly.
The other one, luckily this hasn't happened yet. The internet, I think, shut this down immediately.
With BMW.
Yes. There was so many memes and so much backlash when this was announced.
Mm.
And this is subscription for cars.
I just think about that one meme that I see everywhere. It's like the guy with like the veins on his forearm with his like holding the steering wheel. He's like, fuck! And it's like, there's literally, it's like anything like happens on a BMW, you just drive down the highway and it's like subscription ended and like pulls over.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the stupidest thing. Like, everything is already subscription these days. Literally everything. You can't even buy anything anymore. It's either financed or it's a subscription.
Well, yeah. So like,
that's the painful thing. It's like everything's, even a car now.
Yeah, the thing is, like, so the premise BMW threw around was, like, heated seats would be, it's installed, and you would buy the car, and then you have to pay a subscription to use the heated seats. And, like, it makes no sense. Obviously, for BMW, that's more revenue for them. But, like, it pissed off so many people, because you're already paying for the car.
Exactly.
It's already installed. Just let me use it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this was like total cringe. It's another way for corporations to just bend us over and steal money from us.
Get it from behind you.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. And I mean, some things are just like crazy. Like, I've heard of like subscriptions for like windshield wipers. And like,
I think that was the internet.
It's gotta be for sure, because that would be illegal, I think.
Yeah.
But even stuff as simple as, like what you said, like, heated seats, or even just, like, certain functionality on, like, the screen. So, kind of, like, I guess that's stuff they can control, like, navigation or, you know, like, what kind of music you can listen to, what kind of stations, that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, again, if it's installed, wouldn't it just, like, they already put the cost into actually installing it. And if nobody uses it, that's just a waste.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Interesting thought, but...
Yeah. You want to get the other one?
Our favorite topic. Everything is electric. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of electric vehicles popping up. Sure, it's the future, potentially. I don't know. But it seems like everyone and their dog has an electric car, or an electric car company is popping up every second day. And everyone thinks they can compete with Tesla, which is, in my idea, it's kind of delusional. And we're just seeing a lot of, like, imports and different companies coming into the market, which is good, I guess, for competition, but also, I don't know, like, I don't know how to feel about it.
I get the whole EV and everyone wants, because it's kind of, obviously it's a trend, so there's money to be made, people want to follow the money, but sometimes it just feels rushed and like not really thought out. It's just like, oh, let's just put some batteries in this car, call it EV, and rake in the profits. Like, I get most people aren't passionate about EVs, but at least make it your own.
Exactly. And some of them are, like, released with, like, a shit range. It's like,
could have
at least figured that out before releasing a car, right? Like, some of them have, like, 150 kilometer range. I'm like, bro, Tesla had that in 2012. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, some of them are, I think there's a Kia or... No, it was a Toyota or something. It made no sense. It was priced at like 50,000 and had the worst range out of every EV ever made.
Oh my god.
So it's just like, just don't sell it. Just keep working on it.
Yeah, like, why rush it? Like, I get it's a trend right now and now you have to capitalize, but like, people look for quality in this stuff, and that's why Tesla is so high up. And honestly, I can't appreciate that, because like, even though they've never really built a car, you know, they did get to the point where it's mass produced. There's very minimal issues, except for, you know, self-driving and killing random people.
And but, the build quality of every car. But
that is true. There's always little things. But yeah, I mean, they have kind of made it their own in a way. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the next one, I hopefully is going to die down. I think it has. It's just giant grills.
BMW. They're a culprit for a lot of these things.
I think they're the worst, but Ford's also going that direction for some reason.
I almost thought it was a joke the first time I saw, like, a BMW. I think it was an M3 or something. But it was, like, a massive, massive, massive grill. Like, it was literally from, like, the top of the hood down to the road, and I was just like, is this a joke? Like, it does not need that much air. It's a little six-cylinder engine.
Well, the thing that's interesting about the whole debate is like, oh, we need more airflow, blah, blah, blah. But there's literally a crash bar, a support bar, like behind the grill that's taking up a bunch of the space.
Yeah.
Like, air is not getting through there.
Exactly.
So why?
It's just for looks at this point, I guess. But it doesn't even look good.
So yeah, it's something we'll look back on, cringe on. I think it's being moved away from, because like electric vehicles don't need grills in the front.
Mm-mm.
So like there's no point in continuing this trend if that's where we're moving to.
Exactly.
And then the last one,
yeah, car theft.
I just want to quickly touch on this is car theft. Like, it seems, especially the Challengers and the Kias, it seems so easy to steal cars.
Which is weird, because I thought we moved away from that back, like the hot wiring and stuff, you know, when you're able to do that, to steal a car in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, and it's just, it's crazy how, like, the stats, especially in Toronto, like, I don't know how many cars are being jacked a day, but like, it's getting insane.
It's kind of weird though, like you think with all the tech and stuff in it, they'd track it down in 5 minutes.
The cops are not doing anything
about
it.
That's true. You need like a Apple tag or whatever.
Even then, like, a bunch of people have air tags in their cars and will ping the location to the cops, but they're like, oh, it's too dangerous, I'm not going.
Damn, I just go myself at that point.
And then they tell you not to because they're like, oh, it can be dangerous.
Just bring a gun, it's okay.
But then you get charged for having... See, there's no
winning. Just hide the body in the river, no? Well, no.
Yeah. So yeah, it's crazy situation, and
just get theft insurance, it'll be okay.
Yeah, but then our insurance prices are going up, so that's we're true. Losing.
Fuck, can't win.
Yeah. So yeah, that wraps up the episode.
Cool.
I'd be curious to know, like, you know, what you guys think. If
what shit boxes do you guys drive, and what are the pitfalls and weird quirks that you noticed with your cars? I know there's probably a lot more than we think there is. Like,
yeah.
Weird little additions or weird little nooks and crannies in cars that are just like an afterthought or like wasn't really thought through when they were building the car. So yeah, let us know what you think. But yeah, anything else? All right, guys. This has been a long one, but we'll see you next week in episode 36.
Goodbye.